Any time is a great time to gift something locally designed and manufactured. In particular, a beautiful book or exquisite painting, giclée, or art print done by and about people who live in the Southwest. The team at Night Horses Fine Art and Publishing helps artists and authors bring to market their work the way they envisioned it. In partnership with a talented web of local professionals and state-of-the-art equipment, Night Horses connects creative ideas to the finest materials and workmanship. Visit nighthorses.com to view an expanding complement of beautiful items, including those by narrative artist Alan Martin, painter and sculptor Bill Mumy, and rancher and landscape designer Bob Sharp, who tells a story of the eight valleys of southern Arizona. Visit nighthorses.com or call 520-733-5758. Night Horses Fine Art and Publishing, proudly enabling unique perspectives with compelling authority. Nighthorses.com or 520-733-5758. And what a pleasure for me to indeed have our two colleagues from Night Horses, Alan Martin and Ted Larson. Welcome to the studio, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. Let me give a brief introduction. Ted is a native of Michigan and a fourth-generation General Motors skills trade and automotive engineer. Following 25 years, then, in engineering, manufacturing, and service technology, coupled, of course, with years of renovating classic Corvettes, 35, I might add, wooden sailboats, antique tractors, and farm engines, Ted shifted to architecture and landscape architecture, as well as crafting collectible Damascus steel knives. The knives pulled that problem-solving acumen, the passion for art, by designing and publishing one-of-a-kind specialty books and representing artists. He calls what he does now social manufacturing, and I'm sure he'll explain that later. Ted and his partner, Alan Martin, actually met courtesy of our show back in 2008 when Alan joined us to talk about his career journey. He lived in New York City as an illustrator. In fact, he was one of the first illustrators for Sports Illustrated magazine, when it was illustrated, to reinvent himself then 20 years ago. That's, of course, because he really couldn't retire coming to Tucson. And in many ways, Alan has invented the contemporary Western narrative art genre. Alan's most well-known and largest painting, in fact, it's 14 feet by 7 feet, is the Battle of Greasy Grass, or as the white men call it, the Battle of Little Bighorn. It's owned by the Whitney Museum of Western Art at the Buffalo Bill Historical Center in Cody, Wyoming. So it was a conversation over dinner on, you haven't ever published a book before, have you, Alan? That led to the launch of Night Horses Fine Art and Publishing, which now is a company that's brought 8 books to life, the first being The Narrative Art of Alan Martin. It was launched at the Tucson Festival of Books. And by the way, 8 new projects already on the drawing board. And as well, approaching 20 major new works of art to the market that Alan has done. So our topic today really dates back to that 2009 and a series of events that unfolded during Ted's and Alan's first trip to Cody, Wyoming for the annual art auction that attracts true international attention. And we have in front of us today, believe it or not, a new painting called The Legend of the Blue Horse and a gorgeous children's book of the same name. So I don't think I sold too much of the story, but Ted, why don't you start us and tell us what happened back in September of 2009?
Well, just that. In September 2009, we were getting ready to embark on our trip to the Cody auction, and it toggles between there and the auction in Jackson Hole, and I had been to that previously. And Alan was in Bighorn, Wyoming, and on his way over. And that day in Cody, I stepped into a diner, and the place was full. All the tables had 2 or 3 people in it, and it was just me. So the gentleman sitting inside the door said that I could sit with him, and he was sitting at a small table for two and wrapping silverware in napkins, mm-hmm, and taping them with a little piece of tape. And then a few minutes later, a gentleman walked in the door who the waitress greeted, and she said that he could sit with me. And I didn't totally understand this, but thought it may have been the custom. I was not from that town and not familiar with that restaurant. And so this gentleman sat down with me, and we had a discussion about why I was here, and he was familiar with Alan's painting in the Whitney, and proceeded to give me some tips on where to see a wild horse that I had written down at that same time. And then he embarked on this story, The Legend of the Blue Horse, which was a Crow legend that had been passed down orally, but I don't believe ever written. We could not find anything that supported that.
But I think I recall you telling me, it's like almost out of nowhere, he kind of looked you in the eyes and just started to tell you the story. And I think you might also want to mention he was of Native American descent.
That's right. All I know about him is that his name was Joe.
Joe.
And he was in his 90s, obviously. And he proceeded to tell me this story, and moments into it, I realized what it was and rolled my placemat over and began writing this story down so that I knew that there would be a connection. Alan, having painted hundreds, if not thousands, of narrative pieces of Native culture, I knew that this would someday be a painting that he could do.
That's beautiful. But, you know, Alan, of course, you always have at least four or five other projects going on. So if I recall, that placemat got folded up and put in Ted's day timer for 4 years now, and finally we pulled it out and you went to the races.
I did. And Ted has a few really good ideas, you know that. and always brings me a subject matter that I probably hadn't thought about. It's what I do, and it's a fresh voice for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he started to tell me about this idea, about this blue horse legend, and how he got it, who told it to him, I thought, there's a painting if I ever heard of one. And so I looked at his writings on the back of that napkin, and I started to form a picture in my mind what it would look like. Ted was able then to write it more completely, so I had more pieces of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat down and over a period of a few months painted this picture of the blue horse leaping across this chasm with his trainer on his back. And it's one of the most satisfying paintings I've done in quite a while.
And why is that? What do you mean most satisfying?
Well, first of all, I had never heard the story before.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, it made a lot of sense. And it's easy to proceed when it makes a lot of sense. And then visually, not all legends come out as, I don't see anything visual,
mm-hmm.
Graphic, to do with something with it in the way I do things. I mean, it wouldn't be good if it was just two or three things. But here, this had a horse, a ravine, it had buffalo in it, it had mountains in it, and it had two tribes, the Shoshone and the Crow. And they were mad at each other. So I thought it was just really a good, it was really a good subject.
Good subject matter.
Something to put your teeth into.
You bet. I wanted to just quickly comment, the reference of things on the back of an envelope, on the back of a placemat. I recall you're sharing with Ted and I once the fact that your first major contract in New York was you and a gentleman signing on the back of a spaghetti-stained placemat in New York.
That's right. He was one of the two top agents in New York, and we sat down and had some spaghetti in a Lexington Avenue restaurant, and he never takes time for lunch, but we did that day, and we talked for about an hour, and then he turned the placemat over and said, here's a couple of things that we talked about, and literally it was about four sentences.
Four sentences, yeah.
And we signed it, and that was my contract. He and I worked together for 20 years, and we did not have a crossword between us in all that time.
Exactly. Isn't that a story?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Ted, involve our listeners then in understanding what is the story here that behind Alan's beautiful painting.
The story is about this region. The Pryor Mountains is an unusual range in that it runs east and west, and all of the major mountain ranges in the west obviously run north and south, and the Pryors running this direction, all the south face is very lush and has the advantage of all the snow runoff and a great river system and all of the grasslands and foliage that comes from that having that situation. So the Crow people, or Absaloke as their real name is, they believe that these horses were magical, and they were to some extent, because if you'd lived on the north side of the mountain, you wouldn't have this situation. So the ponies on the south side were very quick and agile and well-fed, and that was also part of their culture, was everything. They truly believed that wherever the water ran off the Pryors, that was their nation. That's how they delineated this. Mm-hmm. So the story is this young man called Crow Warrior, and he obtains this horse and trains the horse, and then he becomes concerned that he's going to lose him. And
actually being stolen by a neighboring tribe.
Yeah. And that's the story. So he teaches him to do something phenomenal.
And our listeners should understand the connectivity, as Ted mentioned earlier, is that he had just spent then a profound personal experience out with the horses, out in the wild by yourself, wasn't it, that day? So to see that circle and connectivity, and for our equestrian listeners or anyone that's seen a wild horse in the wild, the few of you that may have, it's a powerful experience. And now with the story, that a legend, the lessons for any of us to read, that's a really compelling. Well, Alan, of course, after you were in the midst of the painting, I think Ted or I might have said, you know, wouldn't this make a great children's book? And, of course, the illustrator, Alan Marden, then showed up. So tell us from there.
Yes. I put on another hat, and I sat down and took the painting apart. And I think the story has 15 elements in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I drew 15 small illustrations that really are derived from this painting here to put it together. And I've always wanted to a lot of my paintings are legend based, and I've always wanted to have something to explain the paintings, because I don't put anything other than the title on the painting. And if you want to know about the legend, then you have to go find it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always thought it would be nice to have books separately from the painting that we could put out with what these things actually meant. And so this is really the first of, I think, a bunch of them, if it works, and I think it will. And I'm really happy to have this opportunity to come by. And so I have all this stuff here. And, you know, one of my favorite questions is, what does this mean? And then you can start to talk.
Yeah.
Well, I hope the book talks for it.
Part.
Yeah.
And, of course, Ted, our selection of it being a children's narrative as opposed to, you know, a one-pager with the essay on it. You might want to explain why the connection with children, particularly to Alan, as we've observed kids.
Right. And early on in the book festival, when we brought Alan's book there in the first place, we made some little cards to tell people what booth we were at the book festival. Anybody that's been to Tucson Festival of Books realizes there's 600-plus booths, and sometimes it's difficult to find anybody that you're particularly looking for, other than if you're just wandering around for the day. And so we made these cards so that people could come back. But we found quickly that the kids came up and said, can I have one of those with a buffalo on it? Or can I have one of those with a purple horse on it? And so the cards, we gave away hundreds and hundreds of these little cards with our location on it. And so we realized that the kids were really connected to Alan's piece. And so the next year when we came back to the Festival of Books, we did a coloring book, which was our best-selling product at
exactly
$2 a piece or whatever it is. It's laughable. But we have had so many of those go out because they're not Power Rangers, and they're just interesting pieces that were derived from the original drawings of these narratives that Alan did, only they're delineated in multiple colors. They're not like a typical coloring book that's black and white.
Yeah, plus which we gave away crayons.
Yes, and they
that,
came
that
with,
was the,
they
that
came
was
with
the clincher.
Crayons.
That was the clincher, was the crayons, Alan.
Yeah.
So now the two of you are about to go on the major road show with the legend of the Blue Horse. And by the way, those of you who may tuned in, we're speaking with Alan Marden. You can learn more about Alan's work at alanmarden.com. And his colleague, partner in the publishing and art crime, happens to be my husband, Ted Larson. And you can learn more about their company at nighthorses.com, nighthorses.com. So the debut is coming up soon, right, Ted? You had then that trek to Cody again now. 2009, right. 2013, here we go with the painting for auction and the book.
We have a lot of connectivity in this one. We have this year marks the 100th anniversary of the original Prince of Monaco coming, and now the great-grandson of that Prince of Monaco is going to be here this year for the 100th anniversary of when Buffalo Bill Cody asked him to come and see his road show.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at 30-some auctions, I don't even know exact number, but at Buffalo Bill. And again, Alan was invited to come back. And so we've got Legend of Blue Horse in that auction, as well as two other pieces in the silent auction and in the miniature auction also. And the book signing and release of Legend of Blue Horse comes on Wednesday at the Chamberlain Inn, which is our favorite place there in Cody on 12th Street. And it's going to be in both the newspapers. Anybody that knows Cody, it's just an East and West newspaper.
That's right, exactly.
About
that's right.
As long as the page is.
That's right. Well, Alan, of course, you were the major contributor to the book in forms of the illustration, but the two of you, you might also want to acknowledge the other partners, Ted, that really pulled this book together with us. Of course, our photographer.
Right. We had Jack Kulawick, who photographed everything brilliantly, as he has for all the other books. Amelia Sheldon was our editor. Amelia had a great spot in this. And Alan and Izar really worked hard on the story to try to get me into something more than notes on a napkin. And my son Jake was able to manipulate the images and give us this great font and text and how that all fit together. So and a very gratifying project with all of my friends.
That's right. In fact, Alan, this social manufacturing web that you all continue to create, isn't it?
Mm.
And then the book, of course, that we want to acknowledge our colleagues at Arizona Lithographers, which is where it's going to be printed and runs off the press this week.
That's correct.
Right. Alan, as long as we've got us here on the air, give us a quick glimpse into what else is up in your studio right now.
There's a huge painting called Wounded Knee that I'm working on. I've been working on it for about 2 years now, off and on, after, you know, in between doing things like this. But now I'm sitting in front of my easel all day, every day, working on it, and it's coming along quite well. It's another big painting. The canvas is 75 inches by 100. And it's doing well. I think I'm really happy with the way it's going.
And, of course, Ted, the size was dictated by your ability at some point in time to tip it sideways and slither it out the door to get it framed on the outside and then moved.
That's right. It's a
diagonal dimension of the door.
Yeah. we learned about, you know, the boat in the cellar. You don't. Can't do that.
That's right. Well, I want to, again, as always, commend Ted Larson and Alan Marden for your continued contributions to the art world, now coming up as well, the literary world, specifically the children's literary world. I know, Ted, you've got 8 other book projects coming, so our local listeners and residents and visitors to Tucson will know to keep their eye on the Tucson Festival of Books. We'll be back to talk to you about that come in due time. But congratulations, and please, listeners, visit nighthorses.com, alanmarden.com, and then imminently, Ted, right, we're going to have legendofthebluehorse.com.
That's correct.
That's great. Well, as we close the book, it's in the foreword also mentioning that truly legends become stories to life. And this is a wonderful testimonial. Congratulations, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. A pleasure.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.